Amen. All right. Well, we're there in James chapter number 3. And in this passage, we see at the beginning of this passage here, we see there's a theme, and it's on the subject of the importance of our words. I want you to notice that. Look at verse number 1. He says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all." And what he's talking about there is people that are in leadership positions, and definitely ministry leadership position as a pastor or someone who gets up and preaches 3 times a week, you know, for my whole life, basically, or the rest of my life. It's very easy to offend people, and that's the context that he's saying. Notice what he says, "If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to also bridle the whole body." Notice verse 3, "Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." So he gives these 2 examples. He says, you can take this horse, this big, strong animal, and if you put a bit in its mouth, if you can learn to control the mouth of the horse, you'll learn to control the entire beast. And then he says, the ships, though they be so great, they're moved about by a very small helm. Those are the examples he gives. Look at verse 5. Then he says this, "Even so, or in the same way, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." And the idea here that James is writing, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is about the importance of our words, about our tongue, the things that come out of our mouth. And I want you to notice what he says, what he emphasizes as being the reason why we often get ourselves in trouble with our words. It's found there in verse number 2. He says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man," don't miss this, "if any man," notice what he says, "offend not in word." He says, "If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body." The word perfect there, the word perfect in our King James Bible means complete or mature, to bring something to maturity. And here's what he's saying. You know you are a mature Christian. You know you are spiritually mature. You're not a babe in Christ. When you can accomplish this, when you can offend not in word, when you can offend not in word. And tonight I want to preach a very specific sermon, and I think it'll be a very helpful sermon to anybody who takes heed to it. I want to preach on the subject of how to be a great conversationalist, how to be a great conversationalist. And really the point of the sermon is this, how to not offend others with our words, how to not offend others every time we speak. And I'm going to give you 4 things that you should avoid, 4 things you should not do if you want to be a great conversationalist. Now, let me go ahead and say this before we get started and give you a little bit of a disclaimer. Go with me to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter number 18. If you open up your Bible just right in the center, you're more than likely following the book of Psalms. Right after Psalms, you got the book of Proverbs. As you turn there, though, let me say this. I'm talking tonight, when I'm talking about how to be a great conversationalist, I'm talking about conversations that we have with brethren, with brothers and sisters in Christ, or just with friends or co-workers or things like that. What I'm not talking about, let me just make this very clear, is about offending people through the teaching or the preaching of the Word of God. In Matthew 15, 12, you don't have to turn there. The Bible says this about Jesus. "Then came his disciples and said unto them, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" In John 6, we're told that Jesus preaches a sermon and many people were offended and they actually left and they got upset at what he said. And here's what you need to understand. When it comes to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, we need to just preach it compassionately but with authority. And if people get offended at what the Bible says, that's their problem. And even in your life, you know, if you're talking to people about the Bible, if you're instructing people, somebody asks you something about the Bible, we're not talking about watering down the Word of God. We're not talking about watering down the message. If people get offended because of what the Bible says, then let them get offended, because they shouldn't get offended at us, although they often point the finger at us, if we're telling them the truth from the Word of God. What I'm talking about tonight is not
biblical preaching, not biblical teaching, not you're dealing with somebody in doctrines and regard. I'm talking about the conversations we have with friends, the conversations we have with coworkers, the conversations we have with people in our lives. And I want to just give you some thoughts on this idea of how to become a great conversationalist. Now, let me say this. There are two groups of people that need to take specific attention to the sermon tonight. The first group is this, those who struggle developing friendships. If you tonight would say, I feel like I struggle developing friendships. I feel like it's hard for me to have friends or to have friendships, or I'd like to have friends, but it doesn't seem like that happens. You need to pay close attention to the sermon tonight, and I would encourage you to. I encourage all of you to take notes and write these statements down. But I really encourage you to take notes and write these statements down, because the main thing that we do with friends is we have conversations. We talk with them and we talk with each other. And it may be that the problem with your developing of friendships falls and lies in this area of how you go about conversating with people. Proverbs 18 and verse 24. Are you there? Proverbs 18, 24. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says this, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. I know we look at that verse a lot, but I want you to see it. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There's another group of people that needs to pay really close attention to the sermon tonight, and those are those of that's those of you who are planning on going into ministry one day. We have several couples in our church that are actually planning and training for future ministry. And if you're going to be a pastor or a pastor's wife, you need to write down the statements that I'm going to tell you. Because the things that I'm going to teach you tonight, if you don't get them and you don't understand them, you will fail in ministry. And honestly, if you don't get these things, you shouldn't even go into ministry. Because you're just going to hurt people and you're not going to succeed. You're going to not be able to lead people effectively. And again, we're not talking about preaching behind the pulpit. I'm talking about the interactions we have with people, the conversations we have with people. I want to give you thoughts in regards to how to be a great conversation. Let me give you one more disclaimer or verse before we get into the 4 points tonight. You're there in Proverbs. Go to the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. There's another group of people that I want to talk to and give some thoughts to before we get into the sermon. And that is this. This sermon tonight is about not offending others, not offending people with our words. But let me just briefly say something to those of you who are constantly offended. Because what I've learned over the last 7 years of ministry is that there are certain people who are just constantly offended. They're always looking for something to be upset about, something to not be happy about. There's always a reason to be mad at the pastor. There's always a reason to be mad at the pastor's wife. There's always a reason to be mad at the rest of the church people. There's always something they're doing that they shouldn't be doing or not doing that they should be doing. And let me tell you something. From time to time, people offend us. And you know, if somebody offends you and you want to pull the Matthew 18 and go to your brother that's offended you and all that, hey, you know, that's within your rights and you should do that. But listen to me, that should be extremely rare. If you're this person who's just always has an issue, always has a problem, let me just help you out. That gets real old real fast. And if you think like, well, I wonder why nobody likes me, it might be because you're always upset about something and always offended about something, and it shows your immaturity as a Christian. Are you there on Psalm 119? Look at verse number 165. Psalm 119 and verse 165 says this, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. See, when you're always constantly offended, it just shows that you don't have the peace and the love of the Word of God in your heart. So I just want to encourage you, if you're that person who's always upset, always mad, there's always something that somebody's doing, you need to, number one, just get over yourself. You know, mature a little bit. So even though I'm preaching a sermon about not offending people, that doesn't give you the excuse to, like, be just this snowflake. You know, you're wearing your emotions on your sleeves. You're always upset. You're always offended about something else. And here's the thing. Probably me just saying that and preaching the sermon is going to offend a lot of you. But you know what? As a pastor, that's why James 1 says, you know, be not many masters. I've learned to live over the last 7 years with the idea that there's always going to be somebody mad at me about something. There's always going to be some woman in this church mad at me. There's women mad at me right now. And when they get over that, there'll be another batch of women mad at me. You know, if I ever have a time in my life when I don't got somebody mad at me at church, you know, I'm going to start really looking at myself and wondering if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing as a pastor. Because you offend people when you tell them, you know, what the Bible says and they don't like it. But listen to me. If you would just humble yourself and listen to what I'm going to say, I think it would help you in life, and especially for those of you that want to go in ministry, absolutely. So I'd like you to write some statements down. You're there in Proverbs. Keep your place in Proverbs because we're going to come back to it. But go with me to the book of Romans in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter number 12. And let me go ahead and give you point number one. Point number one is this. How to develop four things you should never do if you want to be a great conversationalist. Four things you should never do if you want to be a great conversationalist. Number one, don't only talk about yourself. Don't only talk about yourself. Romans 12 and verse 9 says this. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Notice verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Notice what the Bible says. In honor, preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. The Bible says that if we are kindly affectionate and we love our brethren, we will honor them and prefer them or put them first. Now, this principle is not just about conversation, but when you are having conversations with people, when you're talking to people, you need to understand that probably the number one reason why people don't like other people is when the person is constantly only talking about themselves. And here's the reason why. People who talk only of themselves think only of themselves. People who talk only about themselves only really care about themselves. In our lives, we need to learn to take genuine interest in others. Several years ago, I read a book. It's called How to Win Friends and Influence People. It was a long time ago. And as I was preparing for this sermon, I actually pulled it off my shelf and I started going back through it and looking at some things that I highlighted. And I realized just mentioning that, someone's going to send me an email saying Dale Carnegie was a Mason, or Dale Carnegie was a homo, or Dale Carnegie was homeless. I don't know. They're going to send me something, you know, and tell me those things. But I went back and read, you know, some things, and I was looking at some of the things I had highlighted. I want to read you some quotes from that book. But here's what he wrote in regards to people who talk only about themselves. He said this, if you want to know how to make people shun you, which means ignore you or avoid you, and laugh at you behind your back, and even despise you, here is the recipe. Never listen to anyone for long. Talk incessantly about yourself. If you have an idea while the other person is talking, don't wait for him or her to finish. Burst right in and interrupt in the middle of the sentence, and people will hate you. All right? So look, you say, well, how do I develop the skills of being a good conversationalist? I want to have people like me, and I want to be able to enjoy people and enjoy fellowship. Number one, don't talk about yourself only. Don't only talk about yourself. Now, let me just give you an exercise. You say, well, how can I know if I'm this person who's always talking about myself? Here's a good exercise, and I often do this with myself. And look, let me say this. I'm not telling you that I'm perfect at this or that these things. These are things that I'm working on, and I'm trying to get better at, and I sometimes fail in these areas. But here's a good exercise for you. The next time you're having a conversation with someone, do a little mental measuring of the conversation. Look, if you've been sitting down with someone for an hour talking to them, and you can sit there and realize, okay, for the last 57 minutes, I've been blah, 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 blah. And, you know, this person has talked for about 3 minutes when they can get a word in. You may be someone that only talks about themselves. And listen to me. And then you wonder, like, I wonder why so-and-so doesn't want to talk to me. People don't want to get sucked into that black hole. You know, people don't like it. They don't want to sit there and have a conversation should be a two-way street, where somebody talks, and then you do some talking, and they do talking, and they do talking. And I'm telling you, people will not want to be your friends. They will not want to be around you. They will not like you when you only talk about yourself. So if you want to be a great conversationalist, number one, don't talk only about yourself. Number two, go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 4. You're there in Romans. You're going to go 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians chapter number 4. And again, I'm telling you, I'm not talking about preaching the word of God, All right, I'm not talking about teaching people doctrine. When we're talking about doctrinal things from the Word of God, it is the Word of God. It is the final authority. It doesn't matter who likes it. It doesn't matter who doesn't like it. I'm talking about just conversations we have with people, time we have with fellowship, developing friendships with people. You say, I want to be a good conversationalist. I want to be somebody that people enjoy spending time with, that people want to be around. Well, number one, don't talk only about yourself. Number two, don't openly criticize people. Don't openly criticize people. Are you there in Ephesians 4? Look at verse 29. Ephesians 4, 29. Notice what the Bible says. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. The Bible says that when we open our mouths, when we conversate with people or have communication with people, the things that come out of our mouth should not be corrupt. You say, well, what should they be? Well, notice what he says. But that which is good to the use of edifying. When I open my mouth in conversation with someone, my words should be building them up, not tearing them down. My words should be ministering grace to them. I shouldn't be attacking them and criticizing them. And again, I'm not talking about preaching the Word of God. I'm not talking about, you know, preaching against false prophets. I'm talking about your friend, your co-workers, your neighbor, people that in your life. If you want people to like you and if you want to be a good conversationalist, don't openly criticize people. And look, is that really that complicated? I feel like sometimes as a pastor, I have to come back and do, you know, what some people's parents maybe failed to do. I mean, is it really that common? Don't we tell children, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all? You know, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. Is that that complicated? Is it that complicated? And you say, well, how does this work in real life? Well, let me give you some real life, you know, situations that I've either seen or I've heard of where people told me this happened to them. I was told once about a situation where an individual at church, and this wasn't our church, all right? An individual at church was, I don't know if they were in the hospital, they had a baby or something like that, but someone from the church brought them a meal, and they brought them lasagna. And at the door, you know, they said, oh, here's your meal, you know, brought you lasagna. And the lady said, oh, I don't like lasagna. And it's like, you know, here's a question I have for you, okay? What's the point of that? I mean, is the individual going to go back home and cook something that you like? No, they're going to leave it with you. You're going to take it from them. You know, the only thing you've accomplished is you made them feel crummy. You made them think they wasted their time because they made something you didn't like. And they're probably never going to do that again. So what's the point of criticizing and saying, look, people give you stuff. You should, here's another good quote. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. You know, you ought to just, when people give you something, be thankful for what they give you. Be thankful for the things they do. If you have nothing nice to say, shut your mouth. You know, that's my version of it. Don't say anything at all. You know, just be nice. What's the point of criticizing and being critical for something that someone has done for you? Here's another one, and this is something I hear a lot about in our movement. Someone gives you a gift, and it has an NIV verse on it. They give you a birthday card, and it has an NIV verse. Now, look, we don't give away cards with NIV verses. And people are like, I can't take that. Well, what's the point of that? Just to make people feel bad? You know, we actually had that happen to us one time where someone gave us a gift. They gave us something for our home, and it had NIV verses on it. And you say, well, did you just throw it and say, this is wicked? No, we said, thank you. We really appreciate you, you know, thinking of us. And it was like our anniversary or something. Well, you say, well, what do you do? Did you go home and put it in your house? No, we didn't. We didn't put it on our wall. We didn't, you know, keep it, but we also didn't just make that person feel terrible. And you know what's interesting is that a year later, that individual came to us and they're like, I just want to apologize. You know, I didn't realize about the King James thing, and one time I gave you that gift. And you know what we said? We said, it's fine. Don't worry about it. We were just thankful that you were thinking of us and you were kind and you went out and bought. Listen to me. If you want people to like you, don't criticize them. If you want people to shun you, to hate you, to talk bad about you behind your back, to avoid you, be the person who's just constantly, openly criticizing. If you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. Don't criticize people. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Here's another quote from the book. He wrote this, Benjamin Franklin tactless in his youth, became a diplomat, became so diplomatic, so adroit at handling people, that he was made American ambassador to France. The secret of his success, I will speak ill of no man, he said, and speak all the good I know of everybody. Later on, he wrote this, any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain, and most fools do. Look, people always have an opinion. People always think, and I'm just here to tell you, if you want your coworkers to hate you, if you want your boss to hate you, if you want your boss to never promote you, if you want your boss to, you know, if you want to be the first one on the list to get fired when it's time to fire people, show up at work and say, well, at my last job, we used to do it. Nobody cares how they did it at your last job. If your last job was so great, why aren't you there? You know, if you want people at church to hate you, show up at church and be like, well, at my last church, nobody cares what you did at your last church. You know, and this is something that happens a lot in our movement because people try to pin churches within our movement against each other. You know, I constantly have people, well, you know, at Faithful Word, they, well, look, the sign out there says Verity Baptist Church. Right. Well, you know, at Steadfast Baptist Church. And look, I talk to those pastors and they get that too. You know, their people are like, well, you know, at Verity. Hey, look, when you're at Faithful Word, just be thankful you're at Faithful Word. And when you're at Steadfast, be thankful you're at Steadfast. And when you're at Old Paths, be thankful you're at Old Paths. And when you're at Verity, just be thankful you're at Verity. If you want to be the type of person that is a good conversationalist, that people will enjoy spending time with you, don't only talk about yourselves and don't openly criticize people. If you want to be a very lonely individual that gets shunned by everybody, mocked behind your back, which I'm not saying that's right, but that's just the way it goes, be the person who's just openly criticizing, openly telling people what they don't like, what I don't like about you, what I don't like about this, what I don't like about that. Listen to me very carefully. Nobody cares. The Bible says, a fool uttereth all his mind. And the truth of the matter is, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings that nobody cares about your opinion. Nobody cares about anybody's opinion. Nobody cares about my opinion. You know why people show up to church here? Is because I preach the Word of God. And you know, when I preach the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, three times a week for 7 years, every once in a while, I get to say, hey, here's my opinion, and people will listen to it. But you know what? If my sermons just became my opinion, my opinion, my opinion, I never showed anything from the Bible, it's just all what I thought, people would have stopped coming here. You know why? Because nobody cares about my opinion. And nobody cares about your opinion. And I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm just trying to help you out. You say, how can I be a great conversationalist? Well, number one, don't talk only about yourself. Number two, don't openly criticize others. Number three, go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. You're there in Ephesians, you're going to go Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, and you can say, like, well, Pastor, this is kind of a mean sermon. I'm really trying to help you out. I'm really just trying to teach you some things, you know, instead of just shunning you, right, and mocking you, I'm trying to just help people out and say, look, people don't like talking to you. There may be a reason why. Number one, don't only talk about yourself. Number two, don't openly criticize people. Here's point number three. Don't correct or disagree with people about things that don't matter. Don't correct or disagree with people about things that don't matter. Are you there in 2 Timothy chapter 2? Look at verse 14. 2 Timothy 2:14. Notice what the Bible says. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not. The word strive there is talking about arguing. That they strive not, notice, about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. The Bible says that there are some things that we don't need to strive about or argue about because they're of no profit. Now, again, I'm not talking about the doctrines of the faith. I'm not talking about the Word of God. I'm not talking about not fighting with false prophets and false teachers. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just arguing with people and correcting people and, you know, about things that do not matter. And, you know, the place that I see this the most is within the husband and wife relationship. And look, I'll just confess my fault to you. I've done this. To my shame, I've done this. You want to get your wife to hate you, or you want to get your husband to hate you? You know, just wait till your husband's telling a story, and he's like, yeah, you know, last Tuesday, and then you pipe up, and it's like, it was Wednesday. Oh, okay. And, you know, we were at Bel Air. It was Safeway. Why does it matter? Does it really matter that it was Tuesday and not Wednesday? Does it really matter that it was Safeway and not Bel Air? Well, I just wanted to tell the story right. But why? If you want people to hate you, just correct them and disagree with them. You know, publicly humiliate them about things that don't matter, about things that won't change anything, about things that don't concern anything. You know, if someone says something and it's wrong, you don't have to sit there and correct them. They mispronounce a word. Well, it's actually pronounced. Why? Who cares? Is it really? Now, look, if they're getting ready to give a speech, televised speech, then help them out. Or if they ask you for your help, help them out. But you don't have to be the person who's constantly correcting people and constantly arguing with people and constantly. Let me read to you a quote here. Why prove to a man he is wrong? Is that going to make him like you? Why not let him save face? He didn't ask for your opinion. He didn't want it. Why argue with him? Here's a good quote. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And look, if somebody's asking you for help or asking your opinion or wanting to know what you think about something, then give them your thoughts and your opinions. But if it's something that matters, if someone is going to die, if we don't understand that you were at Safeway and not Bel Air, then please let somebody know. But if it doesn't matter, if it's an issue that nobody cares about, it doesn't change the story in any way, why correct? Why disagree? Why convince? Why argue with people? Why humiliate them publicly? It's just going to make people hate you. So how do you become a great conversationalist? Well, number one, don't only talk about yourself. And number two, don't openly criticize people. And number three, don't correct or disagree with people about things that don't matter, things that are unimportant. Number four, go to Jeremiah chapter number 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. In the Old Testament, you got the major prophets. You got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Jeremiah chapter number 9. Jeremiah chapter number 9. Here's point number four. I said number one, don't be a bragger. I'm sorry, that's point number four. Don't be a bragger or a show-off. Number one, don't only talk about yourself. Number two, don't openly criticize people. Number three, don't correct or disagree with people about things that don't matter. Number four, don't be a bragger. Don't be a show-off. Nobody likes a bragger. In Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse number 23, the Bible says this, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches." The word glory there is used interchangeably in Scripture with the word boast or brag. The Bible says that we should glory only in the Lord. And you know, in your life and in my life, you shouldn't be a person who's known as someone who's a bragger or a show-off. Now, let me say this. If you are high in narcissism, right, you're a very arrogant person, a bragging, we all know what that means. But let me explain to you how most normal people brag and show off. You ever known the person that no matter what you say, they've got a better story? They did it better. They're going to outdo you, and they've got, you know, if you did it, they did it better and faster. You don't need to be the person who's constantly highlighting all the wonderful things about yourself. You know, I'm the best homeschool mom. I'm the best Christian. I'm the best pastor. I'm the best. Look, if you want, and it's fine. You say, well, it makes me look real good. Yeah, but not to the people you're bragging to, only to yourself. Because people don't like people who brag and show off. And if you want to be a good conversationalist, don't brag on yourself. Don't show off. Don't. When somebody's telling you about it, and look, we recently talked about like answered prayer. That's not bragging. When you're like, man, I've been praying about this situation and God came through. Or, you know, somebody's maybe having difficulties at work and you've been talking with them and praying about it and then they get a victory there. That's not bragging. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with telling people about the great things God's doing in your life. But it becomes bragging when you're the person where you can't hear a story. You can't hear about somebody, you know, some blessing they had in their life without you. Well, let me tell you about mine. You know, don't be that person. People don't like people like that. If you want to be a great conversationalist, don't be a bragger. Don't be a show-off. Don't be the person who constantly has to highlight what I'm doing and how I'm so great and how I'm so better and how wonderful I am. And here's the thing. That type of talk actually wears people out. If you're having a conversation with someone and it looks like they're just tired, it's because when people are just constantly talking about themselves, and you know, sometimes you get around people and you feel like, man, am I interviewing you for a job or something? Because like all you're telling me is about all your great qualities and all your this and all your that, you know, it wears people out. And it makes people not want to conversate with you. It makes people not want to be around you. So what are the four things? And tonight's sermon is not going to be very, very long, but I do want to just give you a few verses just as we end tonight. Lost my place here in my notes. Go to Colossians chapter number 4. Colossians chapter number 4. In the New Testament, of course, Colossians chapter number 4. What are the four things? The four don'ts. The four things you want to avoid. If you want to be a great conversationalist, these are things that you should not do. Number one, don't talk only about yourself. Number two, don't openly criticize people. Number three, don't correct or disagree with people about things that don't matter. You know, embarrassing them or human. Let them save face. What's it matter? Number four, don't be a bragger or a show-off. When it comes to the Christian life, when it comes to our words, a consistent theme you find in Scripture is that our speech should be with grace. Notice Colossians 4 and verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace. Let your speech be always with grace. I love this phrase, seasoned with salt. Now, I don't know about you, but I like salt. I put salt on everything. And you say, why do you put salt on everything? Because it makes things taste better. Because it tastes good. And you know, when you have a conversation with someone, they should walk away from that conversation with a good taste in their mouth. They should walk away from that conversation thinking, I like that person. I want to talk to that person again. And you say, well, yeah, but I really showed them where they were wrong. And I really did. And you may have showed them where they were wrong. And you may have got them. You may have criticized them. And it might have been justified. But it's not going to make them like you. And it's not going to make them want to have a conversation with you again. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And again, let me just make this perfectly clear. Somebody's going to send me an email. They missed the point about criticizing, right? And they're going to say, well, yeah, you know, I'm not talking about preaching the Word of God. I'm not talking about, you look, somebody asked you a question about the Bible, you just tell them what the Bible says. And you be nice about it and kind about it, but we don't water down the Word of God. I'm just talking about conversations we have with people before the service, after the service, in fellowship, you know, at work, with friends, or whatever it might be. If you want to be someone that's liked, don't only talk about yourself. Don't openly criticize people. Don't correct or disagree with people about things that don't matter. Don't be a bragger. Don't be a show-off. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Let it be, when people talk to you, it should be something that they enjoy, that they like. It should be something that edifies them. It should be something that makes them feel good. Again, we're not talking about preaching. We're talking about just the conversations we have with people in our lives. Go to Luke chapter number 4. Luke chapter number 4. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter number 4. Luke chapter 4. And before you know, brand me as a liberal, Luke chapter 4, I want you to notice what they said about our Lord Jesus Christ. And at the beginning of the sermon, I read a verse about how they were talking about Jesus, how he offended people in his preaching. But notice in Luke 4:22 what they also said about him. Luke 4:22 says this, and all bear him witness, talking about Jesus, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Wouldn't it be good if it was said of us that people wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of our mouth? That's what they said about Jesus. That's what they said about Christ. Now you say, well, yeah, but Jesus was a hard preacher and he preached hard and he preached against sin. Yeah, he did. But you know, he was a very likable person too. People that were not like Jesus liked Jesus. We get a lot of interaction, a lot of stories about Jesus dealing with people on a one-on-one basis. And you know what I believe? I believe that when he got up and he preached against, and he ripped against the reprobates, and he ripped against the Pharisees, and he preached hard, and he called them names, and he did that. I believe he did do that, and that's why I try to do that in my preaching. But I believe if you would have got to around Jesus, he would have been a very likable guy. You would have wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Go to Proverbs 18, if you kept your place there in Proverbs. We'll look at two more verses and we'll be done, all right? Proverbs chapter number 18, and look at verse number 21. Proverbs chapter number 18 and verse number 21. Proverbs 18, 21. Notice what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Your tongue has the power to bring death to relationships or life to relationships. Your tongue, by the way, as a parent, that's why the Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. As a parent, your tongue has the ability to break down and tear down that child or to edify that child and build that child up. We need to understand that there is great power in our words. When we say things to people, when we communicate with people, we have the power to bring death and life in our tongue. Go to Proverbs 25 and verse 11. This is the last passage we'll look at tonight. Our words should make us stand out. Did you just catch what I said? Our words should make us stand out to people. Proverbs 25 and verse 11. Notice what the Bible says. Proverbs 25, 11. A word fitly spoken. A word fitly spoken. Properly spoken. Graciously spoken. A word fitly spoken. Notice the picture that we're giving here. Put this in your mind's eye. Is like apples of gold. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Isn't that interesting? Imagine a beautiful picture made out of silver. You know, imagine a silver picture with a hillside and with a fence and with a big, nice, strong tree. And it's all silver and there's clouds and there's a sun and there's the sky. And it's a beautiful picture. And then on that tree, you've got apples, but the apples are not silver. They're gold. Wouldn't those stand out? Wouldn't you see those? And the first thing your eyes would go to would be to those golden apples in the backdrop of a silver picture. The Bible says that's how our words ought to be. Our words ought to make us stand out to people. Our words, because you know, you say, well, why would our words make us stand out? And here's the reason why. We live in a world. You go to the world, go to work, go to just worldly people, and you know what you'll find? A bunch of complainers, a bunch of criticizers, a bunch of, you know, corrupt communication, a bunch of people just talking about things, no filter, just whatever comes in their mouth, being rude. And in our society today, being rude is a new cool thing. Where people are like, you know, someone's rude and they're like, oh, well, I just tell it like it is. No, you're just rude. That's what you are. Well, I just speak the truth. No, you don't speak the truth. You're just a rude person. You got no manners. You were raised, you know, were you raised in a barn? You know, our words should make us stand out. Where your boss would say, man, I like talking to so-and-so. And they might not be able to process that and understand that, but you know what those others say? Every time I talk to so-and-so, they edify me. They show me grace. They treat me well. So how to be a good conversationalist? Again, we're not talking about preaching the Word of God. We're not talking about dealing with doctrine. We don't compromise doctrine. We preach God's Word. Somebody asks you about the Bible, you tell them what the Bible says. And if they disagree with you, you just love them and say, well, listen, that's what the Bible says. I'm not going to change my opinion on that. That's what the Word of God says. But when we're talking about having conversations with people, how to be a great conversationalist, number one, don't talk only about yourself. Number two, don't openly criticize people. Number three, don't correct or disagree with people about things that don't matter. And number four, don't be a bragger or a show-off. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, I know this is kind of a unique sermon, but I think it's